What a great time at the Vicky Soto 5K.
So many people.
Yeah. Like 3,000 runners.
Whew.
And what a fitting tribute to a teacher who lost her life protecting her students.
Yeah.
To raise money to create scholarships to help kids, students.
Yeah. Very fitting. Very fitting.
Yeah.
Very fitting.
I am not a big fan of going up in that scissor thingy.
That thing sucks.
Yeah. Not a fan of heights, and the thing is never really stable.
It's narrow.
It's narrow. It's not stable.
And then, there's a wider wheelbase.
And then the mayor wanted to go up with me, and I'm like,
How many people do we need in this thing?
Yeah, the more people, the more rickety becomes.
I'm going to have a microphone. I have a little list of things I have to say. So my hands are full. So I'm like, oh, let's put Jennifer in this. She could go up with me. Bad move.
Uh-oh.
Bad move. You're my wife. You should protect me.
I did protect you. When we went up, it was actually pretty windy. And we got all the way up, and the Joe that was operating the scissor lift, he kind of motions up to us, like fingers up, like, this is okay, or do you want to go higher? And even myself, I was like, yeah, we're fine here. You know, it was pretty high. And Chaz had me record, and he's speaking on the mic, and finished recording, and we're coming down. Guys, let's be truthful and not exaggerate. We were probably about 6 feet from the ground.
It wasn't 6 feet.
You can be hard at 6 feet, though.
It wasn't 6 feet. If you look at the pictures, it wasn't 6 feet. It was way higher.
I didn't think it would affect you the way that it did. So I just kind of like just do a little shimmy just enough to make the...
She starts jumping up and down.
Oh, Lord.
This thing could flip.
Right.
No,
she starts jumping up and down.
He speaks to me through his teeth. Like, my mother did that when I was bad and I was in trouble. He looked at me and he goes, stop it. He goes, why would you do that? And I'm like, okay, I stopped. And then like about 5 seconds later, I did it again. Yep,
we get AJ. Off,
and then you said something that made me feel bad.
That's more
like,
than 6 feet.
You know what?
It's about 18 feet. The people down below are 5'6", 5'8".
Yeah.
You're Look how high.
At least 15 feet.
Yeah, that's like 15, 18 feet.
Yep. See, I'm not a fan of those either.
What did I say?
This is your last year. This is your last year doing this.
Maybe that's why she did it.
Yeah.
Exactly. God, a blaze of glory.
Why don't you talk about what happened to you at the restaurant Saturday night?
Wow. I thought you were going to give me a break, hon. No, but no. Okay. All right. So listen, there is a bit of a backstory. Okay. Years ago,
here we go.
Years ago, I had surgery on my right leg. When I sit down in a restaurant, my right calf typically goes numb. So I tuck up one leg because it helps my comfort. We're at a restaurant with Mike and Tess. Beautiful restaurant.
Brand new restaurant, Sandy Hook. Great pasta.
Oh, cool.
The best Sunday sauce.
All homemade pasta.
Nice.
Awesome.
Rajol, everything. I mean,
oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
Spectacular. Exactly so. So we're having dinner and giving Chad a little bit of a hard time and joking around. And then I felt kind of bad and I leaned over. Mind you, I'm just starting a second glass of wine, so this has nothing to do with alcohol, be clear. I lean over to give my husband a little peck on the lips, and
she fell like a tree. She fell over like a tree. I see her coming over, and then she just never stops. She
Timber!
Just keeps going. And the chair goes over, everything goes over, boom!
And the leg, the right leg was tucked underneath me, and I could feel it happening, and I couldn't get my leg out fast enough, and there I went. Yes.
Was this before or after the scissor jostle?
This is after, right?
After.
This
so
is after. After, okay. Well,
yeah.
And some people might say karma.
Karma. That's exactly what it was. Karma.
My flumma.
And you know, when something like that happens, what do? You get up so fast, the table next to you, you're like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Just please, I just want to... crawl into my purse.
It was almost like, I mean, in the car.
It's almost like there was a trampoline on that floor. You hit and bounced right back up with the chair. I'm like, that's pretty good.
Man, that's recovery.
Yeah, all right. New Haven police make an arrest in a street takeover. Did you see the video of the street takeover on the Veterans Memorial Bridge?
I could not believe that. Yes.
Yeah.
Was that a stolen police car? It was a Crown Vic.
No, it was a stolen car, but not a stolen police car.
Okay.
I don't think it was a stolen police car.
Because it had the spotlights and everything on it.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Police arrested a driver seen at multiple street takeovers Friday night in New Haven. The driver, 18-year-old David Reyes of Volca, was spotted at 11:15 p.m. at the intersection of Shelton Avenue and Bassett Street, driving a blue Crown Victoria. The car was surrounded by a ring of spectators, a car fitting the description of a Crown Victoria that had been spotted at multiple street takeovers, including one that shut down the Pearl Harbor Memorial Bridge on October 19th.
That was nuts. Just doing donuts. Everybody's hanging out the windows.
Yeah, I never liked that.
Yeah.
One wrong move, someone's going off that bridge.
Police attempted to stop the car, and Reyes fled the scene. Stop sticks were deployed, and the vehicle came to a stop when the right rear tire popped off at the entrance of 91 North. Then he tried to get away on foot.
Oh, nope. Wow.
They caught him.
Ain't happening.
There were two women in the car he left behind, both 20, both from Wilkett. They were arrested. Reyes was taken into custody and being held on a $100,000 bond.
Insane. When I saw that bridge, I'm like, you're on a bridge, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep stepping it up to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how you go higher than that. A rooftop of a hospital?
The police chief in New Haven said, we are not going to tolerate this kind of behavior. Street takeovers are extremely dangerous to the public as well as to participants. We will be continuing our details targeting them.
Sick. I was literally floored. I'm like, that's here. Because you always hear about these things going on, but it's always someplace else. This is the first time I'm like, wow, I recognize this exact place they're at right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this the priority? Or is it the drug dealers? Or what about getting a gun stuck in your face and having your car stolen from you?
Yeah, there's a lot of robberies.
All good candidates, yeah. But when you're taking over an entire bridge...
You know, didn't we see we knew all of this was coming once they disarmed the police and said, you can get sued.
Yep.
Like, you going to go out and chase these people? I'm not.
Of course not. There's somebody to chase.
Once you can get sued and your family can lose everything if an arrest goes wrong, we're on our own.
It's a shame. It's a complete shame.
Yeah. This is what they wanted.
Yep.
And it's weird that they act like, we got to do something about it. Okay.
Why are you looking at us?
Give the police back the power.
Yeah.
If I'm a cop, especially one that's like 5 to 10 years, like you could see...
the finish line?
You could see the finish line.
Yeah.
Why would you chase someone?
There's no reason for it.
No reason. They trip and fall, hurt a back.
Yep.
You lose your property?
No.
Sorry. You people aren't worth it.
No.
You're not worth it.
Nope.
Chaz and AJ. Ugh.
Yuck.
Chaz and AJ? Oh, hi. Jesus. I thought Phil was going to answer.
Well, we heard
Phil?
You just cough up a lung.
Well, I'm waking and baking here.
Okay.
Are you really?
Wow.
I am.
What do you do for a living?
Don't tell anybody. I used to do human resources. But now I'm unemployed.
Ah, well, maybe a little less on the weed and a little more on the work.
Find a job.
That actually helped me from hurting people, quite honestly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I don't need, medicine. This is my medicine. Although sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but,
So you're calling in on topic?
Yes, I am. I just heard too this morning, Long Island, we have an issue with this crap over here too, the street takeovers. We had one in Islip. I think it was 1 o'clock this morning on one of the parkways. I forget. I'm sure one of the Miller Place guys from Long Island, the listening, will know.
Okay.
And then back in 2008, I was trapped over in Yaphank on one of the back streets by one of these. And I was freaking out because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And the guy was like, you need to pull over. And I'm like, I just want to get the F out of here, you know. But I pulled over. They did their thing. I got the hell out of there.
How long does it last?
Well, the one I was on back in 2008, that was just like 6 seconds. I just, they were just doing it down the strip. This one, Sunday morning, I don't know, but they were doing donuts all over the place. And then there was one, you're familiar with Patchogue, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they had one, I think a year, well, I'm in East Patchogue too, I think a year or two ago, because they were showing it on the news, more donuts, and I think a kid got ran over or something. But yeah, they need to fix this crap. And then, Chaz, you touched on the gunpoint in the face of the car.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes in my house, I can slice them with my weapon, right? And the police aren't going to touch me, but the person can put a weapon in my face, and I can't do nothing.
I don't know. Is that true?
I don't know.
I was wondering about this. Like, if someone pulls a gun on you.
I'm going to hurt
you. You're on that talky weed.
I am.
Yeah, you're chatty weed.
Sativa.
I want to call because I'm not a happy person.
You're not a happy person?
You sound happy.
You sound happy.
The world.
You got to hear she's happy.
You sound happy. I don't know.
Inconsolable.
Listen.
All right.
Listen, we have a November election coming up, right?
It's tomorrow.
They
tomorrow.
Need to get somebody to fix this world. Just give me 5 minutes. I can clean a lot of it up.
Really?
Like a pipe.
Starting with a criminal.
What have you been waiting for?
Need to empty this jail.
I feel like she'd waste her 5 minutes talking.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to go, guys.
Okay, goodbye.
I love you. Bye.
That is good weed.
Very good weed.
That's the kind of weed I want.
That's what
it just makes you laugh, doesn't make you paranoid.
Yep.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
I do.
Dumbass.
What?
Hey.
Huh?
Woman in a rage over cold and uncut pizza.
Justified.
Could it be she's pregnant?
Could be.
It's justified.
Ayesha May is here. She's pregnant.
Morning.
So, yeah. Have you had any outbursts like
cravings?
What happens when you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Besides cravings.
You're cranky, but you get away with everything because you're pregnant. So you can be a bitch and just, you know,
that's
get away with
good.
It. Yeah.
Well, maybe this woman was pregnant.
Right.
Angry that her Domino's pizza was delivered cold and uncut, a Florida woman allegedly drove from her house to the restaurant where she fought with an employee, flung the pizza, and damaged the store's telephone.
Wow.
Does she know David Ortiz?
This happened at 1:30 in the morning.
It was a heavy pizza.
1:30?
Yeah, either cravings or she's not pregnant and she's drinking.
Munchies. Sure.
I mean, cold and uncut is infuriating.
The factory in Domino's pizza.
Uncut is like, what are you doing here?
Right.
You had two jobs, heat this and cut it, and you didn't either.
Right. Can you smoke weed when you're pregnant?
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did a doctor say that or you said that?
I mean, you can. Like, no one's stopping you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I could do drugs right now. No one can stop me.
Only when the baby's born.
I know no one can stop you.
There are there's a lot of things that you can do pregnant that are like taboo that you actually can do. Like I can eat sushi.
Sushi was the big one. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I can have sushi.
So like I'm sure in the 40s and the 50s, people drank while they were pregnant.
Yeah.
They didn't know any better.
Even now in Europe, like in one of my books, it's like I could have in my second trimester, I have a glass of wine every single day. My baby should be fine. That's what they do in Europe.
Should be.
Should be. We'll see.
Yeah, smoking weed. You can do that.
Should be.
Except when the kid's
baby.
Born, does say wang goes, whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to have a chill baby, guys.
After... What's this milk crap? Give me that wine.
After spending the night in jail, Holly was released from custody on her own recognizance. I hate that word.
I hate that word, too.
I wonder what kind of food she got while locked up.
Pizza.
She was not complaining at that point.
blazing. George ordered the St. Petersburg resident to stay away from the Domino's outlet.
Just that one location, or?
Yeah, it says the Domino's outlet. So right. I'm guessing she can go to other Domino's outlets.
But they all talk.
One.
They all know now.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let Crazy Helen.
Has anyone ever been banned from a particular restaurant or fast food outlet or bar?
No, a bar, yes.
Bar, yes.
Yes.
What'd you do?
It wasn't what I did. It was the fact that I hid who really did it. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I think we talked about this.
Yeah, I wouldn't give the name up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't a rat.
Yep, I didn't rat.
I don't think from a restaurant. From a store, definitely, but not from a restaurant.
A store?
Really?
Yeah, I stole.
What?
Yeah.
What'd you steal?
Not even something cool. It's just like one of the, like you're walking around as like a 13-year-old. You're like oh, look,
Charleston
we have
Chew.
No, I wish that would have been better. That would have been more useful of my energy. You're walking around the mall. It's like we have no parental supervision for the first time. So I was like, yeah, let's just take this. So I got banned from Abercrombie for stealing one of their cologne testers.
Oh.
A tester?
It's just out. And I'm like, it's not in a box. There's no barcode. I could take this and no one will know.
But they can smell you for miles.
I was correct, by the way. I could steal that and no one would know. But then I felt bad. So I told my dad.
Oh, my God.
He's like, we're taking it back. So we go back. They're like, he's no longer allowed in the store. I was like, good. I don't even like the store.
I can't even spell it.
Wow. And you brought it back and they banned you.
I brought it back.
We're bringing it back.
Right. Yep.
It's horrible.
They were stunned.
So take it from me, kids. Don't do the right thing.
Quincy Jones, dead at the age of 91. Very sad.
Yep.
But 91 is good, right?
Good
91 run. Is good.
It's
good
iconic.
Yeah. Fact that he's gone is
huge career.
Not good.
Yep.
On the phone right now, author of 501 Essential Albums of the 90s, the music fan's definitive guide, Gary Graffon. How many Quincy Jones albums do you think are in this book?
In the 90s book, there are maybe one or two. The 80, he's a little more prominent in the 80s. We have an 80s book that will follow this as well. And, of course, as we go back into the 70s and 60s, you know, I mean, we are talking about one of the giants who did everything from Ray Charles to Thriller and points in between. And you know, won Grammys for some albums of his own. You know, he was a great, he produced and composed a number of iconic film soundtracks over the years as well. So, I mean, this guy really was all over the place.
He was truly a genius.
Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
and then no one in the history of music has ever had so many stars in one room for one song.
Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. What you're talking about, of course, We Are the World, USA for Africa.
Yep,
and, exactly.
You know, he had talk about squirrel herding, and I know many people have seen the documentary about it that came out earlier this year, and just seeing what it took to not only have those people in the same room, but to wrangle them and make sure you were being productive and make sure they were communicating with each other and cooperating with each other. He is, I would say he was probably the only person who could have pulled that off.
Right. No one else could have pulled that off.
No.
To get them there to begin with.
Certainly could.
And then to, you know, like who else are you going to listen to? Like the fact that none of these giants in music took over that session. That session was always his. It was always he was in charge.
Yep.
Well, Phil Spector could have come in with the guns.
This is true.
That'll do it. That'll do it. That's a motivator.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, yes. Quincy Jones. First of all, the guy knew music left, right, center. You know, from any direction, and so had such a great deal of respect from, you know, all those musicians assembled in the room, and even those who weren't part of the project. And they would, you know, they would listen to him. He also had the temperament to handle everybody and to handle the egos and to handle the difficulties. And he was smart enough to let things play out as they had to. You'll remember scenes, I think it was at Huey Lewis and Cyndi Lauper and Kim Carnes figuring out their own part, and Stevie Wonder showing Bob Dylan how to sing the song like Bob Dylan would sing the song. And but Quincy kind of knew how to let that happen too, and not get in the way of that process. So right. It really was. I mean, you know, we overuse the term genius, but, you know, this guy's face is next to it in the dictionary.
It applies big time, yeah.
Well, then the three most important Michael Jackson solo albums, Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad. Yeah. And I heard during Bad, you know, him and Michael would work all day on music. Quincy would leave, and Michael would stay in the studio all night rearranging what Quincy had already done.
Yeah, it wasn't quite like that, at least my understanding. And, you know, I had interviewed Quincy on a number of occasions, too, as well as some of his engineers. And Bad was the album where Michael Jackson kind of got his wings. You know, he'd done two with Quincy Jones already, and he wanted to be more hands-on. So he would stick around and he would listen to things. He'd make some changes, but Quincy also allowed Michael Jackson to be more a part of the process.
Gotcha.
And then as we saw in Dangerous, which is one of the albums in the 90s book, you know, Michael kind of, you know, walked away from Quincy. You know, he grew up, if you will, and decided to executive produce his own album. And produce hands-on, produce more of the material, but also collaborate with other people. But there's no question that he would never have gotten to that point if he hadn't have recorded three albums with Quincy Jones.
Gary Graff is on, author of 501 Essential Albums of the 90s, The Music Fan's Definitive Guide. Why 501? I'm thumbing through. First of all, beautiful job, great job.
Thank
I love music.
You.
And you make it very easy to kind of thumb through and just reflect and enjoy. But I'm looking at some albums here that don't need to really be here.
You think more 47?
And which would those be? I mean,
Teenage Fan Club.
Okay.
Like,
I'll argue with you on any of the 501. Of course, we went through. The process of choosing, of selecting, was, you know, as arduous as the actual writing and editing of this book. And there are 36 contributors to the book, as well as myself. And the discussion that went on for a solid month. 501 sounds like a big number when you first say it, and then when you assemble a long list of 2,300 albums. From which you have to whittle down to 501, you know, you realize just how much music came out, how much good and key music came out. The idea for the book is we want to be able to hand this book to you and say, if you want to understand the 90s in music, all music, here's the book. You know, these 501 albums will tell you the story of music in the 90s. And the very first thing I write in the book, in the introduction, is this is a book that's designed to cause arguments.
Did you have to come up with 501?
Yeah. I mean, well, that was the charge as when we talked about it with the publisher and everything. It was, okay, you know, everybody does lists of 500. Let's do 501. It's just different. If you want to get in the nitty-gritty of the search engine optimization, an odd number like 501 shows up better than 500 does. So that was part of the decision making too, and it's just a little quirky, which we liked as well.
Which album? Is there an album in here that you think should not be on this list?
No. And then I'm not just
of course
saying,
because you're
I'm
the
not
author.
Just saying, I'm not just
come
saying
on.
That. Yeah, I'm not just saying that as the editor. But are there albums in here that would? If we were to have called this the 501 best albums of the 90s, are there albums I think shouldn't be in here? Absolutely.
Okay.
But when we use the word, and that was the key when
essential.
The term essential
gotcha.
Was applied to it, right? These are, you know, so would Britney Spears' first album be in here if these were the best? You know, no.
No.
But is it an essential album to understanding the 90s? Absolutely.
Now I understand.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
makes
so
sense.
It's that kind of viewpoint. So, you know, and some of them are hipster. You mentioned Teenage Fan Club. Yes, but there was a big hipster quotient in the 90s. You know, but we also have all the big pop releases. We have gospel. There's gospel in here. There's country. There's jazz. So, you know, the charge really was to look over the decade as a whole and at all the genres.
It's funny, when you flip through this book, 501 Essential Albums of the 90s, you realize that there are a lot more great albums in the 90s than you thought. Because I don't look back at the 90s and think, wow, that was really just such a great time period. I mean, it was grunge.
Yeah.
In rap, in hip-hop. But you don't think 501 great albums. As I'm thumbing through, I'm like, wow, there's some really good albums in
here. Forgot, yeah.
Like that Sublime album. Where would you, like, if, you know what your work would be, Gary?
Right.
Taking these albums, taking the top 100, and then listing them.
That would be a charge as well. I'm glad we were able to do 501 instead of 100, because that would have been really hard. But it's interesting what you mentioned about being surprised by how many great albums there were during the 90s. You know, my take is, and coming away from the book certainly, is the 90s were the last great decade for the album as an art form. You know, we got to the end, people were still listening to albums as albums. We were talking in our music geek discussions. We were talking about deep cuts, not just singles. And the number one album on the Billboard charts any given week was selling 600,000, 800,000, a million copies a week. You get to the end of the 90s, and we're into Napster, we're into file sharing, we're into P2P, and the beginnings of the streaming world that we know now, when people don't consume albums as albums anymore. So it really was, the 90s was the last time the album really ruled like this.
That's interesting. True.
And as you can imagine, getting into the 80s, where there were more albums and, you know, being released every year, that was in some ways even harder. Although the 90s was pretty darn hard.
Yeah, I'm just thumbing through. Mariah Carey, Foo Fighters, The Eagles Are Back.
Living Color.
Yeah, it was interesting hitting on the, you know, and it made me feel like I had hair again. going back and remembering covering these things as they came out.
Right.
You know, I remember, you know, and some vivid, you know, vivid memories of Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rear View, or the, you know, Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral, Nirvana. You know, all of that coming out, and then getting like that first Britney Spears album, and thinking, oh, this is crap, this is never going to do anything, and sometimes we're wrong.
And Sinatra had a big album in the 90s with Duets.
Right? The Duets album, I mean, that was its own kind of thing, and that's in there first. It's in there on its own merit, without a doubt, but also it began a trend of those kind of albums, you know, legendary heritage artists recording with contemporary artists sometimes not in the same room.
What's the biggest stinker on that Duets album?
Oh boy. I would have to think back. There were a couple where you just
got you under my skin with Bono.
Did you do that? Yeah, with Bono.
Stink.
Yep.
Ugh.
Open a window. Open a window.
I want to vomit.
Yep.
Yeah, he, not Bono's wheelhouse, obviously.
No.
And, you know, but you did have to respect the cojones there. That, okay, I'm going to go sing this song that's not my kind of song with a guy who defined what that kind of song is.
Right.
So you got a hall pass for the first verse.
It's like polar opposites.
Yeah, but he was trying to sound sexy when you hear it. He's like doing that whole breathing. So Frank sounds great, of course.
Deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart.
Doesn't he have any friends? Someone say, Bono?
Right.
Just sing it. Like, if he just sang it, it would be fine.
I'm waiting for a friend to go, hey, what's this Irish kid?
You would have thought that Sinatra, you know, Sinatra was not one to parse his words. You would have thought if Frank was unhappy, he would have let it be known.
A lot of these artists just got a reel, and then they never even met Frank.
Oh, really?
They just got a tape sent to the studio. They went into the studio and recorded it. Yeah. But there are a lot of good remakes on that. That is not one of them.
No.
But.
Yeah. That's a coaster.
Yeah, but that came down, too, to the songs on those albums. I mean, it's hard to mess up those songs too badly. I mean, they're just great songs.
Gary
yeah, but that was the kind. That was the kind of decade it was. I mean, you know, you could have a Frank Sinatra singing with Bono. And so much happened in the 90s too. You know, so many different genres, technology, the way we were listening to music. Remember the mini disc and the digital audio tape?
The mini disc.
Yeah, but that, yeah.
I'm looking at one now that I kind of keep around to make myself chuckle.
I asked you, what year were you born?
89.
Okay.
Ooh. I don't know what a mini disc is.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And good for you.
Yep.
Wow, the mini disc. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. So there were all sorts of, you know, technologies, and we were still in the MTV. You know, MTV was still a prominent force in establishing tastes. So, you know, you still had a lot going on in the 90s. And, you know, it hasn't been like that since.
It's a cool book. I forgot how good that decade was in terms of music until I started flipping through. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Never really thought of the 90s as being great. The first half of the 90s.
Makes you realize,
Gary Graff, author of 501 Essential Albums of the 90s, the music fan's definitive guide. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Want to have you back.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.